go again. It's McCollin. It's Shannon.
Pitter patter. Let's get at her.
We talked about this yesterday or the day before. This is time of year where you can watch just about any sport you want to watch. And you're almost always faced with some kind of choice. I would suspect there is more channel flipping going on right now among sports fans than at any other time of the year. Wouldn't you think?
Perhaps. Yeah, I think you're right. And we're going to throw an NFL game in tonight to the situation. So there'll be the four major sports will be going head to head in across the continent.
And I actually will watch some of the NFL game.
I wonder why.
Well, because my Brownies are playing.
It was a rhetorical question.
Well, and I just say, I say this not for you, but for the audience, in case they are unaware of my, I don't know what it is.
I'm looking forward to the quarterback for the Browns.
Well, it ain't going to be the guy who's been playing quarterback for the last 2 years.
Yeah, no, I know. Case Keenum. Yeah, I know. But
well, Case Keenum's going to start.
Yeah.
And play, but I guess, the whole game. And I don't know what to expect. Not much. And this team has, like, I suspect they're not going to have either of their top two running backs. They have a bunch of offensive linemen that are hurt. They've got defensive backs that are hurt. Their quarterback is out.
Oh, boy. This is sounding like a mess. This sounds like Cleveland Brown excuses already in the game.
Well, hasn't even started. I'm not making excuses. I'm just saying it's a mess. I don't see any way they win this football game. I think if they were playing the Sisters of the Poor, they'd get beat. There's not much there. Anyway, we'll find out and we'll watch some of that. And then what baseball do we have tonight? The Dodgers are off.
No, it isn't. That's the Boston. Isn't Boston? I think there's just the one game. Dodgers. Yeah, it's Dodgers tonight.
Dodgers are playing?
Yeah, Dodgers. Because remember, they the three games in three nights situation. So,
well,
Dodgers play tonight. Dodgers could be out, Bob.
Well, they could very well be. And look, you can point to all kinds of things. But this ongoing experiment of not using starting pitchers or bullpen games. And I mean, the Dodgers managed to win 100 and whatever they won, 8 games over the course of the regular season. Now, I grant you, Kershaw is out. And Kershaw is a big weapon if he's on.
And obviously, Scherzer's tired.
Why is Scherzer tired?
A couple of days ago, he announced he was tired.
Well, but they brought Scherzer in ninth inning,
yeah,
right?
Yep.
And so, like, it just, this is stuff that the new breed thinks is revolutionary and effective, and I don't see it.
Yeah.
Like, if this whole philosophy of how you use your pitching staff actually worked, explain to me how the winning teams yesterday scored 18 runs between them. How did that pitching those pitching rotations work for Boston and for I'd say not so good, right?
That's as good an analysis you can get of bullpen days, I think, Bob, right now.
Well, you know, either you got the pitching or you don't have the pitching. And if you've got a pitcher who can throw, if you limit them all year to 5 innings or whatever,
mm-hmm.
You're not going to have any. He's not going to be able to throw 120 pitches in the postseason, which is what you want. You want your best pitcher out there. You don't want some bullpen guy, and you sure as hell don't want 5 bullpen guys. Because I'll bet you that one of those guys at least is going to have an off day and get lit up.
Well, and what it does do is it really puts pressure on the long relief guy.
Well, who's that though?
Well, isn't it Thomas for the Dodgers?
Well, it's whoever they decide to put out there.
Yeah.
The long reliever really doesn't even exist anymore. It's five guys who can each throw an inning or two.
Yeah. But I think it got the Jays in trouble at the end of the season when you
sure
think
it did.
And I think that it's, I'm surprised. I didn't ever think we'd hear and see so much discussion about bullpen games in the playoffs. It just doesn't, it's not logical to me based on, and particularly how much money you're paying your starting pitchers now too, Bob. I mean, that's the phenomenal thing. The amount of money you're putting on the mound and you have to put
and
somebody.
And you're getting like 150 innings.
Yeah.
That's all you're getting.
Yeah.
Like forget 300, which used to be the bar for a high-quality, successful starting pitcher. That was Fergie James. That was Nolan Ryan.
Sure.
You know, 250 was kind of like
there were so the many minimum. When we were younger and smarter, there were so many good pitchers in baseball. So many.
Do you think there are fewer now?
I do.
I don't.
I guess my point is, I talk about starting pitchers. I do expect them to go seven or eight innings. And you know, the great guys of the 70s, you know, the Seavers, the Suttons, even the guys in the 80s and 90s, the guy, you know, that Braves lineup of starting pitchers that was so good. You know, Greg Maddux being Greg Maddux and Glavine doing what Glavine did. And you know, even John Smoltz at times. I mean, they pitched a lot longer time.
You're not wrong. Obviously, statistically, you're 100% accurate, but I'm not sure you have to back that far.
Yeah, maybe. The other story that it may be camouflaging is the Braves shouldn't be doing this. The Braves should not be up 3-1 against the Dodgers.
Well, I don't disagree with you, John, but the explanation is quite simple. It is the Dodgers' decision to utilize this advanced technology. Yeah. Doesn't matter who pitches, just get a couple of innings out of anybody.
Yeah.
Philosophy.
But when you think that there are three real stars, including Acuña, three real stars for the Braves not playing and won't play. That to me is just an amazing storyline for the Atlanta Braves getting to the World Series. You know? And your old buddy, Alex Anthopoulos.
Well, I'd love to give him credit, but
why not?
I think you have to. Well, no, I mean, you know, I love the guy.
Imagine if he had taken the job as your co-host. He wouldn't be with the Braves.
He wouldn't have lasted in this job.
Like you're so critical?
No, because he wanted to be a baseball guy.
Okay.
You know, at the end of the day, you know, that's what he wanted.
I don't know. Alex loves to talk.
When he talks, he loves to, you can't shut him up.
Yeah.
But anyway. We'll find out what happens next.
And okay. I know we got to go, but no thought on Big Red Raptors. No thought.
We'll get to that. Well, our guest has had a relationship with that team.
Sure, they have.
Calling games and doing panel discussions and studio work with them. We'll get his perspective. Rod Black.
Ooh.
Now X. Of TSN and CTV, and I'm sure everybody knows.
Or you have to say, I'm sorry, you have to say it the way Lloyd Robertson says it.
How does he say
CTV?
It? CTV?
CTV. That's in honor of Lloyd.
I love Lloyd, but
yep, yeah, me too.
I don't have to say that way. That
CTV. It's like Bob Cole. You have to say St. Louis. You have to say St. Louis,
notice CTV. All this stuff.
I'm a producer, Bob. At heart. I'm a producer at heart. And I listen. It's amazing what happens when you listen.
All right. So what curious pronunciation do I have?
No. It's your phrasing. You have this bibliography of phraseology.
A bibliography of phraseology.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
What in the name of the baby Jesus does that
mean? I broke one of my old cardinal rules. Don't use words larger than marmalade. So.
Wait a sec. M-A-R-L. we'd have to do an actual count to find out if it was longer than marmalade.
Marmalade's a big word, man.
Rarely comes up in conversation, though, you know, John.
Please pass the marmalade, Bob.
Can't tell you how many times I've said the word marmalade.
You know what you say? Jam.
Well,
you say jam.
I don't eat marmalade. I rarely eat jam.
What? What do you put on your nice piece of toast with peanut butter? What do you put
I rarely have toast.
Oh.
You taught me this. That's the reason I'm.
Oh, the bread. Much too much bread.
Than I
too
used
much,
to be.
Too much bread.
Well, do you remember what you told me?
Yeah.
No bread, no potatoes, right?
Yeah, and well, usually the rule is anything white. Yeah.
Well,
rice, potatoes, bread.
Rice, I don't eat a lot of anyway, but bread and potatoes. Yeah. I mean, I'd have a meal with bread and potatoes. I have a potato sandwich.
I know exactly where you go, and you'd stay away from those French fries.
I'm not eating French fries anymore.
Excellent.
And it worked. So
yes, it does.
Advice to all: if you're trying to lose weight, get rid of the bread, get rid of the potatoes. You'll hate it. Your meals will be miserable as hell.
Yeah, but there's lots of stuff you can eat still. By the way, I give great advice. I just can't take it.
Oh, okay. Well, you're doing okay for a while there.
Oh, I know. You fell off the wagon,
did you?
No, I
did. A little bit?
I'm blaming the pandemic for everything. So.
Well, I don't see you anymore, so I can't tell how chubby you are.
Pardon me?
Well, I can't tell how fat you are. I was going to say fat, but I decided to say chubby.
I'm just a little.
It sounds cuter.
I'm just a little short for my weight. That's all.
Well, cut out the potatoes and the bread.
I know.
Or get some platform shoes. With John Shannon, it's Bob McCowan, and Rod Black will join us after these messages. And we are back. It's McCowan. It's Shannon. And joining us in the world of the gainfully unemployed... Our pal Rod Black is
welcome. Welcome to the club.
Yeah.
How's retirement
treating you?
Yep. And there's a porch. Shannon and I talked about this a long time ago, many years ago, how there's going to be a porch for the OBC, the old broadcasters club. And we'll all be sitting in rocking chairs, retelling stories of days gone by. And I'm not in the rocking chair yet. But I will tell you that it has been a very interesting last week. It's been a lot interesting last couple of months, but I know I talked to John last week and I'm very excited. I mean, again, I am unemployed right now, but I'm certainly exploring options, including redecorating your house there, McCowan.
And I got a gang of people upstairs doing it right now.
You've got to work on that. And Shannon, I am just going to bring in a janitor. That's all I'm going to do. Look at all those awards you got back there. Is your name on all those or what?
No.
No, I bought them at Dollarama, Rod. So.
Anyway, it's great to see you guys. It is. It's a different time for sure.
Well, so how long have you been sitting there doing not a damn thing? You know, a week? Has it been a week now?
A week, I think.
Yeah, or close to it.
I would say more than a week because my last CFL game was on Thanksgiving Monday. So since Thanksgiving Monday, I have been doing a lot of these because as you guys know, old broadcasters never die. They just get podcasts. That's how it works.
Well, is that where you're headed? Have you thought about it?
Well, you got it. You got an opportunity there. Is it? I know it's the two of you, but is there room for a third?
There is always opportunity with the Fadu family.
With the Fadu family. Rod Fadu. I haven't done much since that time. I've just been answering a lot of calls and texts. And I also have an aside that I've been busy with the last few years, and I have my own little production unit that we do some corporate stuff. I think I learned about the entrepreneurial side of broadcasting years ago when I worked with one Bob McCowan, who had many irons in the fire. He didn't have irons in the fire. He had many fires. And so I've been busy with some of the production stuff too. So that's cool.
Good. Shannon, you're sitting there gazing into the sunset.
I'm just listening to you guys. You know,
that's my brother there. That's my brother. That's my brother.
Listening
right there,
to you
John
guys
Shannon.
Compliment each other. I was going to say get a room at one point.
I didn't compliment either one of you.
I didn't know. No. this reminds me of the old days, though. Shannon is the producer. McCowan at CJCL and Young and wherever that was. Was that Bloor Street or?
Young and Grenville, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was really old days in the 90s when I used to come in there and.
That place was a whole
prime time sports with you. That was a lot of fun. You'd go out for your dart break, come back.
Well, I may go into this conversation too.
we used to call that exercise. Bob's going for exercise.
Exactly. Well, I had to go downstairs.
Yeah. Well, there was always somebody to meet, right?
Yeah. So how long have you known, Rod? How long have you known that you were, what's the path been like?
I would say probably in July is when I knew. And I, you know, mutually agreed upon that on how I would write off, I guess you might say. and I thank them for that. But, you know, certainly, hey, you guys have been down that road. It is what it is. Draw your own conclusions. And it is, it's not easy, certainly. I will tell you, I have not shed one tear. Only the tears that I've shed have been regarding talking with colleagues and friends through the last few days, because, you know, that those are the most important people in this crazy journey, and the players and the athletes that you have broadcast through the years. And so I'm certainly not done broadcasting. I haven't retired, not yet. I still think I have, you know, some game in me, and I love being around the games. But yeah, I've known for a while, and I wanted to go out on my own terms, and I'm happy I did.
By the way, old announcers don't retire; they just fade to black. So
yeah, there you go.
and so, how difficult? And not to put you on a spot, how difficult was last night?
Oh, watching the Raptors. You know what? It was different. I don't know if it was difficult. It was different. It was different watching the first CFL game afterwards, but. I will tell you guys, you know, I've gotten used to this stuff through the years. When you lose properties, when we lose properties in the broadcast industry, Johnny, you and I have worked together in the past when, you know, all of a sudden you come in one day, you realize you're not doing the Olympics the next year. You're not doing a world championship. So you know what? Guess what you do? Yeah. You kind of say, oh, dang. And then you move forward and you put your next step foot forward, your next foot forward, your next step forward. And I think the same thing from last night. I'll tell you, it was difficult watching is how bad the Raptors were on opening night.
Oh my gosh,
that was bad. And be patient this year, because that's the kind of team that they're going to have. We chatted before about that in the past, what kind of team they'll have, but it was definitely different. I'm so used to being beside my buddy Leo Routens, and a guy who has become a great friend that we all love is Sam Mitchell. And you know what? I even missed them busting me, because that's all they do is bust me, you know, and Jack and Matt and the crew. And so, yeah, you do miss it. And I honestly really did. And I'll get down there. I really missed the environment. We all have. We haven't been in an arena. The last time we were in arena was, you know, for the Raptors was early 2020. And, you know, before that, the championship there's no atmosphere like it. So I really, really missed being in that environment. And it's so good to see the crowd back. But it was, it was different. At the same time, I must say, I did have picture in picture. I did watch, but I was also watching baseball. You guys know me, and I was watching other things and whatever was on that night, and some hockey. But it'll be a little different for a while, for sure.
What do you think you're going to miss the most? You've had the opportunity to do a wide variety of sports over the years. Is there one that jumps out at you?
Yeah, and John will know this one, and it's actually one that I have missed for a while, and that's golf. I loved calling golf. We worked together on many golf events, and then we lost the rights. And so, you know, I've missed that. I'll tell you, and John will tell you this. I think I miss that every single day, being in that environment for golf and baseball. I really missed when we did baseball, because they're very similar games to call. I think I'll miss them all, Bob. I really do. I love doing CFL games. You know what I miss is the juice of game day. We've all been there. We've all felt that. Walking down the tunnel, coming in before a game, going on the floor before a game, talking to the players, talking. And sometimes it's just casual conversation. Sometimes it means nothing. Sometimes it's off the cuff. Sometimes it's a little blue. But often it does give you a nugget for later in the game. And I really did love it. I think it's the closest thing for some of us that wanted to play sports and just weren't good enough. It's the closest thing to playing. And there's nothing like game day. I love broadcasting. I love being in the studio. You guys love doing it from here, but there's nothing like being there. And that's what I'll miss the most. I'll miss those games but I trust me, I want to get back in that. That's what I want to do again. And I want to be down in the field. I want to be at the diamond. I want to be on the ice. And it's an intoxication, really. And then you get ready for the game. You do the game, then you go out, and then you get intoxicated after the game.
Hold on. Well, that doesn't happen anymore. You know. Well,
by the way, you're right. It doesn't. It doesn't happen, and it hasn't happened for a lot of years. People always say, "Oh," and they always say that too about, "Oh, you guys hang out with Barkley," and yeah, we do. And you know, Leo and Leo must have some late nights. Yeah, we do. The libraries, by the way, guys, I found out they're open till midnight. But we do have we do have some fun. We all do. We all have fun. You have to mix work and play, but it's not like the old days where you know people would be doing all-nighters. You can't. You got to get back at it, and you got to get back on the horse and work the next day. So it's not quite the same as it once was, John Shannon.
I tell you what, you're right about the golf. I miss the golf still. I loved doing the golf.
You know, people forget, like, you know, I go back in golf because, you know, we actually brought David Faraday to the broadcast world. Remember those days? And he and I did the first ever Newfoundland broadcast. It was before Ben Wright would come on with Jimmy Nelford, and that was kind of where I, you know, cut my chops with David at the time. And we kind of knew that Faraday would be really good when, you know, you throw down to him, and, hey, let's go down to David Faraday. Sorry, Rodgers, I'm in the portalette. And you knew right away. or he says, there's John Daly. Look at that. Is that a haircut or two divots over each ear? And you kind of knew right away he would be really good. And then you're working with the Ben Wrights of the world, this legendary voice, and who's still shooting golf, as we all agree. But you know, and this was the time, and I'm sure Ben wouldn't mind us saying, when he would remember Zeke, John, floor director, and he go, Zeke, my good man, this is about an hour before broadcast. Would you please go to the Nicholas suite and take this water bottle and fill it full of vodka? And Zeke went over and he thought he was joking and comes back with a full of water and goes, Zeke, you fool. I said vodka.
Just before we're going to talk about Rod, the idea is to talk about Rod, not about golf, but one of my favorite memories was sitting at a steakhouse in Oakville.
Oh my gosh.
Thursday night or a Friday night of the Canadian Open. And Ben is at the head of the table telling us all about Australian wine. And next thing you know, he turns and says, is that Oscar Peterson over there?
Dude, you gotta. So remember, he was telling us all those stories about how much he loved Oscar Peterson. Oscar Peterson, my favorite Canadian. Okay. So Bobby, so now I go to the bathroom and I come back and I was walked through. I think, John, maybe you and I had walked back and Oscar Peterson sitting there. Yeah. And I think Sandra Post told him. And then he comes, and then we're walking out and he goes, I should go over there. I said, go, man, go. I cannot. And then all of a sudden he takes a beeline, this big Ben Wright, like, you know, he's like an offensive lineman. He sits down, Oscar Peterson is eating, and he sat there for 15 minutes. Remember, we're waiting on the street in Oakville, and he comes, he goes, my heart is palpitating. I have had the biggest thrill of my life.
Oh, yeah.
Meanwhile, Oscar Peterson's going, who is this old English guy?
Well, Oscar Peterson couldn't have been too young at the time himself.
No, but Bobby, Ben literally did pull up a chair at the table.
It's you know,
one of those.
Oscar Peterson sitting there. It was a table for four, and Ben was number five. And he sat there at the table talking to Oscar Peterson. I thought they were going to go over and play a duet on the piano that was in the corner. But
it was hilarious. It was hilarious. Those are the great memories. And that's, you know, that's the stuff, by the way, those are the stories. And we have tons of them. We can fill books and podcast time with all those great stories, because that's the thing you miss too. You know, you miss that. I mean, you miss those dinners. I miss those tech dinners, those broadcast dinners where we all kind of share stories, but we also share a lot of intel and info that sometimes you can't relay, right?
Yeah. We'll take the break and come back. Rod Black is with us. Not for the last time, I'm quite sure. Back after these messages. And we are back. It's McCowan, it's Shannon, and it's recently unemployed Rod Black. I shall not refer to you as retired. I'm merely between engaged.
For the record, Rod, we've had guys change jobs in the last year or so on the show. All of them prominent Canadian broadcasters, Bob Cole, Jim Houston, and you. And nobody wants to use the R word.
No.
Nobody. Why would you? Boys, I'm on Freedom 95. You know, remember, hey, I got a lot of kids. I got a lot of mouths to feed. So, you know, I can't be living vicariously through them.
Well, although we're going to talk about him in a second. One of your sons, you might be able to live vicariously through.
Well, maybe
for
him.
A while.
He could be off my payroll. He might be off my payroll.
Hey, how do you know Barkley? You and Charles became great. Where did that come from?
That's an amazing story, actually. From broadcasting, you know, the early days, 1995, and you know, the first years, and being so close with Leo. Leo and I were friends even before we started broadcasting. And a lot of people might not know the story that, you know, if it wasn't for Barkley, would not have become a Sixer, because they eventually traded Leo so that Barkley could become a Sixer. So they became friends, and that's kind of how I met him at first. And then he was always coming up here, and I was hosting a lot of those golf events at the time. There were a couple of celebrity events in Canada, and I got to know Charles Barkley more, and he was just one of those gregarious. He is who he is. Charles Barkley is exactly who he is. Mm-hmm. Better than life, great. And so through a mutual friend, Chris Bundy, who was a Labatt's rep at the time. Mm-hmm. We played some golf together. He caddied for Barkley. It was at Lionhead. I'll never forget. I was playing behind them. And Bundy's real good with the barbs. And Barkley clearly is too. And they were going at it. But Barkley was playing terrible at the time. And by the way, he was a good player. And still, you know, contrary to what people believe, he's still a very good golfer. Just the terrible swing. I don't know what happened to that. Anyway, the swing was good at the time. All of a sudden, Chris Bundy throws down his bag and says, "You're the worst golfer I've ever been around. Go caddy yourself." And then Barkley, of course, being Barkley, "Come on, man. Come on. Come on. Come back here. Come here." And they hug. And then Bundy and I were talking about this, and he said, "Well, let's get Charles up, play golf." Sure enough, we started playing some golf. I was a member at Scarborough Golf Club at the time. And then, tragically, our friend Chris was killed in a car accident. And I think our friendship became closer. Charles came up for the funeral. He never wanted me to tell people this, but he's probably the most good-hearted person I've ever met. And I remember sitting in the church, and Chris and his wife had a young girl who was a preemie at the time, and was a very successful story. Like, you know, a lot of preemies, unfortunately, we know how horrific and tragic that can be. It was a very happy ending. And Charles wrote a check for her college education that day. And wow. I thought, man, that just tells me everything you need to know. And then we became buddies. Then the next thing, I invite him to my wedding, and he couldn't make it. But then I got a phone call in from Mont Tremblant, Quebec. And my wife and I, Nancy, were sitting there, and the weather is terrible. And it's our honeymoon. And I get a phone call, and it goes through the French operator, "Monsieur Black, such and such." Barkley comes on the line and says, in probably off-color language, "Mother something." And then, "What are you doing? What are they speaking there? I want you and Nancy to come down to Las Vegas and join Tiger and Michael and I for your honeymoon." I said, "No way. She's not going to want to do that." And sure enough, well, the weather was terrible. And you know Nance, Johnny, so she said yes. Yep. We went and spent our honeymoon, which was incredible, with Charles. And it was kind of the early days of our friendship. And we've just been real good friends ever since. And to me, he's... I have a hard time, because maybe one of the reasons that we're so close is that I don't treat him like Charles Barkley. I treat him like I treat you two dudes. You know, we all bust each other, and he loves that. He loves Canadians, and he's a generous soul who has great stories and loves great conversation. And he will talk to everybody. He has been a friend for life. Will be a friend for life. Him reaching out to me as well over the last week has been very special too.
You know, it's interesting you say that, because I've had a few people ask me about you and what it was like to work with you. And I said, well, once I took the Tylenol, I was okay. Oh, yeah, that's right. By the way, for Rod Black, the 10 o'clock meeting starts at 12. Hey, you understand that. You get used to it. But the one thing I would say, Rod, is anywhere you went, and this is an art. Anywhere you went, you ended up having friends. You ended up knowing people and creating relationships. Was that a conscious thing?
Through the early years of this industry, which is, you know, it's hard and it's challenging, and especially when you're young, and I was very young, I met some great people, some mentors too, that I, you know, they said, you know, take the job seriously, but don't take yourself seriously. And I, one of those guys was Don Whitman, the late Don Whitman, and who I learned a lot from in Winnipeg, and kind of took me under his wing in his own way. And I saw the way he interacted with people too. And you know, everybody has their idiosyncrasies. Mine obviously is not being on time, but I, you know, this is the toy department. We've said that many times. This is fun and games. It's not like we're writing obituaries, although sometimes we have tragic and sad stories that we have to relay, or controversial or scandalous stories, and they're serious. But, you know, why not? Why? Another one that my dad taught me, never miss an opportunity to meet somebody. They can change your life. And so many people have. John, you have. You got Bobcat, same. You know, you just, you, the more you meet, the more people you meet, the more you understand that, you know, everybody's deep down, you know, there's something that you're going to love about them. So that's kind of been my mantra, you know, this entire journey.
I asked you almost off the top, if not, what sport you might miss the most. Is there a sport that you would have wanted to do, but never got the opportunity to?
You know, I did a little soccer, but now with soccer being so popular, I think I would have really liked to have done a few more games, matches. I wouldn't say sports. I'm pretty sure I've done every game or every sport except rock, paper, scissors, and hot dog eating contest. But I would say that like events. I never got a chance to broadcast the Stanley Cup Final. I was there in a reporting role or whatever. But would I have loved to do that? Sure, an NCAA basketball final. I would say all of the bucket list ones. We've all been pretty lucky, you guys. We've checked so many of those bucket list things. There aren't too many more that I would have liked to. You know, I've been really lucky and privileged to have had a front row seat to some of the greatest moments in Canadian sport. You know, I'm just trying to go through my little brain here about other events.
Did you ever call a fight? A boxing match?
Called many. Yeah. World fights too. I mean, a lot of those up at Casino Rama, but I also did, and I loved it. And I know, Kat, we've talked about boxing, and it seems to be making a bit of a resurrection again with, through the years, and watching the heavyweights in particular, but MMA is kind of taken over. I guess, you know, probably MMA, and I'll truth be told, I didn't like it. There's still a part of me that says it's very barbaric. I'm not sure, but one thing I do love about it is the way they produce it. The way they produce it, it's like, I think boxing's now, that's one of the reasons that boxing's becoming revitalized, because of the, first of all, the fighters and big names, but also the way that they start to produce things. Maybe not in MMA, but yeah, so I did, a lot of fights. And here's another one, little known fact is, probably one of the reasons that I'm sitting here is one of my best friends while I was growing up, was the heavyweight boxing champion. We were inseparable at the time when he was in Winnipeg.
Oh, I remember Donnie
Lalonde. He taught me a lot about hard work. I saw hard work. Not that I didn't work hard, but I didn't understand smart work. And I was plotting away, and I was kind of still a little, I thought, okay, well, I'm going to be in Winnipeg doing late night sports forever, which is fine. You know, am I ever going to get that crack? I got the opportunity. And then, you know, that dude taught me a lot about fighting and getting up every morning, staying up late and doing all your stuff. I owe him a lot. I really do owe him a lot. And then he got me into the fight game too, and got a chance to call fights down states as well. I love calling boxing. Yeah. And I know it sounds, especially from a guy who also covers figure skating, but there is something.
It's magical.
About the science and you learn quickly, Bobcat, I'm sure you have, is that I learned quickly, do not wear anything white when you're ringside. I had spit and blood and on me than anybody. And I'd always kind of bring my buddies around if I was calling a fight, especially up in Orillia, and they quickly, there's nothing quite like it. If it's controlled there's a brutality that exists, but you know, there's something about boxing that is.
This leads me to, I have to tell the story because you tell stories better than I do. But the day that we met Evander Holyfield.
Buddy, that was also, I think, the same day that we met two other people's lives who changed considerably 1992
in Barcelona.
So Bobcat, you'll also happen to know that we shared the same area with NBC. So we saw, you know, Bob Costas and everybody every day, and into think about how these lives have changed. OJ Simpson,
right?
Bruce Jenner changed clearly. And we ran into Evander Holyfield.
So let me do the preface here. So Rod and I are in the outside the broadcast center, and Barcelona was a million degrees. It was hot, and so every day I had to have an ice cream break. So I went out and had a bar, and Roddy said, "Where are you going?" I says, "I'm going to get ice cream." He says, "I'm going with you." So there you go. I'm buying black an ice cream bar in Barcelona, and we're eating our ice cream bars. Yeah, I know. Producers didn't make the money then. And across the courtyard, walking by himself, Evander Holyfield.
He had two ears back then.
Yeah. I said, "There's Evander Holyfield." Roddy says, "We got to get him on the air. We got to get him on the air." I said, "What?" He says, "Next thing you know, two of us are across the courtyard, and we're talking to Holyfield."
There's a ton of people, and there are other requests. Like, people are asking him, "Can you come here, come there?" And then John, take it away.
And so the first thing Holyfield says to us is, "Where'd you get the ice cream bar?" And listen, Evander, we'd love to do an interview with you. "Oh, okay." He says, "But I'll do it if you buy me an ice cream bar." He bought him an ice cream bar. We take him up the escalator to our compound, and the NBC guys, there's six of them, at the top of the elevator waiting to interview Holyfield, because that's where he was going initially, was to go to NBC. And he turns left with us and goes into the CTV studio. We have him for 20 minutes for our primetime show. And the NBC guys are banging on the door. They're screaming at us. They're yelling. And we got Evander Holyfield for an ice cream bar.
Do you remember, too? He had like ice cream, a little bit of ice cream on his lip while he was doing the interview.
You
can't make that crap up.
No.
True story.
No, you can't.
Yeah.
Well, look it. We all reach a point in our lives where the road turns and or forks, as they say, and you have to figure out which of the forks in the road you are going to take.
A TSN turning point. Oh, wait, forget that.
Well, you can say that. I won't, but you can.
Okay.
The only experience I can offer is take your time. Because I think your mind, if you're like me, your mind will change several times. You'll want to do it, then you won't want to do it. You'll want to do something else. And eventually you figure out what it is you want. And at this point in our lives, that's what's really important. To some extent, it's what we have to do, but to a great extent, it should be about what we want to do. And I know none of us have been pigeonholed over the course of our careers to do stuff that we hated. We didn't hate going to work every day. None of us. No. But
we never really went to work. We went to play.
Yeah. Well, there's some truth in that too. Just take your time.
I want to ask you this, and that is sage advice. But I do think, like, and I've talked to this, is that even over the last couple of years, and trust me, I'm so grateful to the CTV family. I mean, I did it essentially for 40 years with an affiliate first, then there. And I don't know if they're the word tired. I just think you kind of get beaten down after a while doing the same thing. And people go, Raptors, everyone. I just would like to do, and you said it perfectly, the things you want to do. And there, by the way, more boxes to be checked. You guys are a perfect example of that. There are more boxes to be checked, more people to meet, more things to do, more moments that exist out there. And I do think that, you know, I'm really grateful that this kind of happened at the time, because I didn't want to get to the point where it was becoming work. It never has been, but it was starting to gravitate towards work. And the not mundane's not the right word, but a sameness.
You get bored.
Thank you.
It's as simple as that.
Yeah.
And people think that somehow that is a negative connotation. Well, it's not. It's just obvious. After 40 years, actually doing the same thing over and over and over again, you want, well, different. I mean, I want to do something a little bit different, but you can't pay from what you've got because we've all, you know, all experienced pretty decent careers in broadcasting, but take your time, think about it and
come back.
And I'll be watching some because my kids are playing baseball.
Well, there you go. And
so you become a Cincinnati Reds fan, right?
Milwaukee Brewers. Always was a Cincinnati Reds fan. Now I got, of course, a Blue Jays fan. Now, you know, my allegiance has changed a little bit now. But friends and family, you also regret the time that you never had a chance to go to your kids' games, your graduations.
Well, of course.
Missed weddings. I missed my grandmother's funeral for this job, which I love, which I still regret to this day. There are things you regret. Missing more time to golf with John Shannon and Bob McCowan. How many times... You know, you get out and you say, okay, I can do it. I can do it. Then you got to go, guys, I can't do it. Those are the things, those are the regretful things of that you can do now. So I'm looking forward to that.
Well, it would be simple of us to wish you good luck, but you don't need it. And don't jump, just wait, just see how you feel. Mm-hmm. Take your time and something good will wind up happening. Yeah. And if worse comes to worse, you've always got Shannon and I to bug if you need
to. I got this square up here. It's like the Hollywood squares. I want to thank both of you guys though, because you know, one of the things that in this industry, you know, I'm sure you're the same. I've always said, I learn something new every day. Learn. Even when we get a little older, you guys taught me a lot. Bobcat, I worked with you. You taught me professionalism, storytelling, and not to take smoke breaks. You taught me about wine,
exercise, but
you taught me a guy who also demanded the truth, and I appreciate that. And John, friendship will last forever. You're the greatest producer I've had. You made things better. But unfortunately, you never made your office better, so work on your office a little bit. Look at that
there's a few pictures of Rod Black on the wall.
Yeah, that's a dartboard, I think. Anyway, boy, I know how much I care about you guys, so thanks.
We love you, Blackie.
Yeah, and I love you guys.
Thanks for having me. Well, I know it's not golf season, but we'll plan on getting the sticks out next spring, and hopefully we see you long before that. Thanks, pal.
You got it.
All the best.
See you guys.
Rod Black, we'll come back after these. Well, it was great to see Blackie and see him in good spirits, and there's no reason to be sad or depressed, but it's just this evolution of the industry that we have been in all our lives is so puzzling.
Happened before though, Bob. It's happened to previous generations. You know, I was there when they had to tell Danny Gallivan that he was too old, you know,
appreciate that, and those are kind of one-offs, but what we're seeing now is this complete annihilation of people who have made their living and become household guests in the homes of millions of people are just being chopped off, and it's being done principally for economic reasons. It's not a question of quality of performance. It's not about being too old.
You don't think
it's not about economics. It's this decision that this industry has made that we don't have to reward someone for 30 or 40 years of service, and the economic benefits that the company has derived from that service, we can go get and pay him a 10th, a 20th of what we're paying this guy. And they'll be just as good.
You're right. But the interesting part of our business is there aren't less fans. There aren't less consumers. In fact, I would argue there are more. It's just that I think that patients and managers are still learning how to deliver the content to the consumer. I really do. Sports talk radio has changed a lot. Television watching games, you know, people under 30 watch games like you and I do, Bob. but they still want to talk about the games, well, and they still sure want to watch the highlights of the games.
If you bring in,
so it's different.
If you let a bunch of people who have no history in the industry run the industry, they're going to bring polarizing points of view, and quite frankly, stupid points of view. And that's essentially
some are stupid, some aren't. You know,
well,
and we've all been victims of both. We've been victims, or we've been advocates for both. You know, it's funny. I had a discussion with somebody the other day about, well, why is the company doing that? Why is that group doing that? Well, that's what the boss wants. You know, and every boss has a right to go in and try to invoke some of his editorial belief, and some work and some don't. And that's the phase we're going through in our industry in this country. And by the way, the Americans went through it 5-6 years ago.
ESPN lopped off how many heads, you know?
Well, Olbermann and Patrick were bigger than the network at one point. They were bigger than the network. The next thing you know, they were gone.
Yeah. Hard to explain. And hard to justify. And I think if you went to ESPN right now and they gave you the honest truth, the economic reality was that while those guys were well paid, ESPN took the short end of the stick for an awful long time, maybe still, and made less money. And as you know, I can tell you straight up that when we were doing primetime, that was a profit center. It was the single biggest profit center for the radio division. And yeah, did it cost them a lot of money? Sure it did. Was there profit? There sure was. Is there profit today? No. There's a lot of red ink. So sometimes investment spending is, well, all the time, investment spending is a wise thing. All the time.
Yeah. But there aren't less sports fans. That's the one thing we know. There aren't.
They're looking for something that they can grab.
Correct.
And I can't explain why TSN CTV decided to let Blackie go. I have no idea. I assume it was fiscal. You know, the guy has quality, is good. Mm-hmm. His utility is extraordinary because his work ethic.
And I think we got a sense of that today about how he even remembers stuff and the ability to tell stories.
Isn't that our business? He's had the opportunity over the course of his career to do a lot of things. How you find somebody who can do that is beyond me, but
I'm not sure. When we were much younger, that was one of the great calling cards of broadcasters in our country.
Versatility.
And something changed along the way.
Well, everything in life changes. For John Shannon, Bob McCowan.
That's very good, Bob.
Thank you.
We should get that out. We should get that on a poster or something.
Oh, not for free. I need the money.
Okay.
We'll see you tomorrow. Goodbye, everybody.